It's here and now. Let's turn now to Canada and the Canadian military. As fighting in northern Afghanistan heats up again, it's worth noting that until last year, Canada had soldiers there. Also, Canada is part of the U.S.-led coalition fighting ISIS in Iraq and Syria. So the idea of military cooperation between the two countries is not really new. In fact, it was the subject of a 1968 movie called The Devil's Brigade, a story of a joint U.S.-Canadian unit in World War II.
Major Crown, sir. Canadian Army. Reporting for duty.
Glad to have you with us, Crown.
Well, now we have this surprising piece of news from the CBC. The Canadian military has been in talks with the U.S. to integrate their country's military forces today. CBC reporter James Cudmore broke the story and joins us now. And James, what sort of military cooperation are we talking about?
Well, Meghna, you set the stage quite nicely talking about the cooperation that Canada and the U.S. have embarked upon in places like Afghanistan. There's also, of course, and by way of more context, the NORAD piece, which is really important in the defense of North America, which is effectively an integrated aerospace defense unit, both Canadian and American. That's kind of the model for what was being discussed and planned inside Canadian and American military headquarters. We know that Canada's chief of the defense staff at the time, General Tom Lawson, met on several occasions with your chair of the Joint Chiefs at the time, General Martin Dempsey, to discuss, and I quote here, fully integrated forces. This was one of several different options that was being looked at. This was conceptual development, according to some military documents that I got a hold of, deal with different manners in which we could do a better job of working with one another.
Let me just jump in here because, you know, the difference between military parlance and lay parlance can be quite dramatic. Fully integrated, meaning what?
That's a great question. Fully integrated. What does it mean? So there were a couple of different options on the table. At the extreme end was this idea of forces being unified under a single chain of command with single accountabilities and responsibilities, a regulated kind of arrangement, documented, an MOU, signed agreements, all everybody's governments agreeing to this process. That is something that would look very much like that Devil's Brigade idea, the first special service force of a joint unit. And that would be the entire force. Now, when we're talking about numbers, you should bear in mind that Canada's military is quite small in comparison to the United States. Our force is only about the size, in fact, less than the size of your Marine force. And that's all of them, our Air Force, our Navy, and our Army. So the idea of Canada kind of melding into to a U.S. force does make some kind of sense, apart from the fact that we're separate countries. There's the rub, right?
Right, of course.
So there were a couple of other options that were being discussed, which included maybe just something like a joint expeditionary unit to deploy abroad to certain hotspots. And that would be kind of a standing force, but not truly integrated, not one unit commanded by one person. It would be more like an agreed idea of how we might operate abroad. And then a third option was just how can we keep the lessons that we learned fighting alongside one another in Afghanistan going? And it appears that that's really the option that the two forces, yours and ours, landed on.
So, James, this is interesting, though, because you know, on the one hand, perhaps greater cooperation or even integration between the United States and Canadian militaries might make strategic sense when considering, you know, North American operations, right? I mean, you talked about NORAD, but here you're reporting that, I mean, the discussions were what the lessons that we take from Afghanistan in foreign hotspots. But on the other hand, though, I also read that while you said that the heads of the both the U.S. and Canadian militaries were in these discussions, that not other members of the Canadian government were privy to this?
Yeah, so that sure is interesting. We know that these discussions happened several times and at the highest levels inside the military. When I put this information to our government here in Canada, the government said, look, we weren't directing these discussions, and we really don't have any interest in this high-end concept of a fully integrated force. So that leads to the question of whether or not the military was completely freelancing here. I'm going to give them a little bit of credit and suggest that really what they were doing was following along the line and the lines that had already been laid out for them through pieces like NORAD, And through pieces like the NATO International Security Assistance Force in Afghanistan, and also really some of the work that Canada and other allies of the United States, France and the United Kingdom and others, are doing in Iraq and Syria, for instance. There is this move toward integrated coalition forces. Mm-hmm. How do you make that work?
Mm-hmm. Interesting, yes. Because I see in your reporting you say that that the Defense Department says that the planning for this began as an attempt to maintain lessons learned from joint operations in Afghanistan. But on the other hand, I do have to wonder, how do Canadians react to this? Because I think, if I can just quote your own piece to you, very elegantly written, that this kind of bilateral relationship is described by some as akin to sharing a bed with an elephant.
Yeah, you know, I have to give credit where it's due. That came from a former prime minister, a guy called Pierre Trudeau. And that was what he said, and that is the idea that we hold here in terms of our relationship, both economically as well as militarily. You know, the reality is when it comes to the military piece, Canada is a very small contributor, important but small contributor to the defense of North America. The defense of North America has become a really important thing for the United States following those horrible attacks in September of 2001. And the military response by the United States to create something like the U.S. NORTHCOM arrangement, the combatant command responsible for North America, that kind of swallowed up NORAD, which is this binational North American aerospace defense unit, that's really what led to this this move to see if there might be further integration, for instance, at sea, in the defense of our maritime approaches, and then why not abroad? It seems that that abroad piece is really the hardest one for people to come to grips with. The integration of land forces, right? There's so much esprit de corps inside these land units. You know about how somebody never really leaves the Marines. You know, they're always a Marine for the rest of their life, you know? And people are very proud of belonging to these units and to these organizations and fighting for their country, those sorts of things. And this is why maybe in the long run, the idea of a future Devil's Brigade probably isn't something that would ever come to be. Mm. But we are seeing things like the UK-led Joint Expeditionary Force, which has a few Nordic countries and Northern European countries linking up with the United Kingdom in order to come up with some kind of force of like-minded countries to go abroad and to fight abroad if necessary in order to kind of share the burden. It's really kind of like NATO in a tighter application, I suppose.
But just to be clear, at this point in time, at least, fully integrating the U.S. and Canadian militaries is not on the table anymore.
That's what they say.
That's what they say. Okay. Well, the question remains then. But finally, James, I'm curious, can you talk to us about the political aspects of this? Because Canada is gearing up for an election that could determine whether or not Prime Minister Stephen Harper remains as PM. I mean, how much is defense and national security part of the election in there?
We are talking about some of these issues, national security, quite regularly on what's been a 12-week campaign coming to a close on October 19th. Ours are more limited duration than kind of the perennial campaign, or at least the years-long campaign for the White House that we see in the United States.
That's putting gently. The
gently.
Interminable campaign is more like it.
And so the conversations are much more intense and more focused, and they happen over a smaller period of time. And we're hearing a lot of conversation around the idea of terrorism and protecting Canada or the homeland, to use that American word, from terrorists, from people abroad. And it's probably important to remember that it wasn't that long ago, October 22nd, well, very nearly a year ago, that there was an attack in Ottawa by a lone terrorist, is the word that's been used, who attacked our parliament. Well, our prime minister and our ministers and all of our members of parliament were meeting inside the building in their separate caucus rooms. He also killed a soldier standing guard at the National War Memorial in Ottawa. So these ideas of sort of ISIS sympathizers, people who might be interested in doing harm to us in the name of the so-called Islamic State, is a live one over the course of our election campaign. But we don't have a very mature discussion of these issues in Canada during the electoral time frame. We're not talking about what a force should look like or what sort of operation somebody should be doing abroad. And indeed, since the election period began, we've heard very little from our own Department of National Defense about the war that we are currently fighting alongside the U.S. Against ISIS in Iraq and in Syria.
Well, James Cudmore is a senior reporter with the CBC's Parliamentary Bureau. James, many thanks.
You got it.
You're listening to Here and Now.